James McMurtry is here today with his band, the Heartless Bastards, to play live. Like his dad, Larry, he's a hell of a writer, and now 8 albums into a career that started in 1989, he has more notoriety than ever. Stephen King is singing his praises, and it's primarily because, first of all, his last album, a live career summation, and also his new song, We Can't Make It Here Anymore, that lays his populist politics on the line. I asked James about the reaction to the song when it was put on his website, which was well in advance of his new album, Childish Things.
Yeah, we put that out about a week before the 2004 elections because I was trying to get something done. You know, Steve Earle got a whole album out in advance of the elections. I thought, well, I can get one song on the internet. And that one has a life of its own. It kind of, we got more attention for that than anything we put on a CD and last 10 years or so.
Were you reluctant to do political writing just because of the vibe of that kind of thing?
Well, just because it's very easy to write a sermon when you're trying to write a political song, and nobody wants to listen to your sermon, you know. But I had to risk it because the situation got so weird, and I got lucky this time. I got a song out of it.
You know, it's funny to talk about, you've mentioned it's kind of like your first foray into political writing, but if you go all the way back, I was just thinking that even Painting by Numbers comes from kind of the same place.
Social commentary, but it was a little more resigned in those days. It was more like this is how it is, you know.
Yeah.
We can deal with it. Now this is how it is, we can't deal with it.
What kind of response have you gotten from people who may not have even known your music before from that?
Well, when I first wrote the song, I couldn't get the band together for another week or so. So I went in and I recorded an acoustic version. And I put that up on the internet. And then I took a disc of it and I went down to KGSR in Austin because I knew the morning DJ and I knew I could just walk in there and have him spin it. And I put the radio-friendly bleeps, you know, old-fashioned Johnny Cash-style bleeps on there to keep him from getting in trouble with the FCC. So we went down there and spun that song during morning drive time, and before I got home, there were nasty emails up on my website about that. A lot of people did not want to hear it. Fortunately, a lot more people did.
Right.
But it has, you know, for a while, we were putting everybody's emails up on the website and kind of getting a forum going. But the volume got too high. We couldn't deal with it anymore.
Well, you got to do a version. We'll either make it radio-friendly or you can do so. Can you do a version of it?
Oh, yeah. You'll have to do your own edits, though.
There's a Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign sitting there by the left turn line. Flag on his wheelchair flapping in the breeze. One leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him. The VA budget's just stretched so thin. And now there's more coming back from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. That big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out, they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. You see those pallets piled up on a loading dock? They're just gonna sit there till they rot. Cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack. Busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around a square. There's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. The bar's still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd's getting thinner each day. working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink if you gotta have proof. Trash yourself, Mr. CEO, and see how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores, I bet you can't make it here. Shirts in the Walmart store, just like the ones we made before, except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin, or the shape of their eyes, or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? Now I hate the men sent the jobs away. All now they haunt my dreams, all lily white and squeaky clean. They've never known want, they'll never know need. The shit don't stink and the kids won't bleed. The kids won't bleed in their damn little war. We can't make it here anymore. Well, whatever it takes, they can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore. So that's how it is. That's what we got. If the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, and hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo and look us in the eye. Call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the great high plains, it's done closed down, along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat, and there's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.
We Can't Make It Here. That's James McMurtry from Childish Things, his new album out on Compadre, and James and the Heartless Bastards. Three-piece, but a four-piece now, right?
At times? Part of the set, yeah, because Tim, our sound man, comes up in about the middle of the set and plays guitar from there on out.
You know, you talk about the reaction to that song and therefore to this album, but it seemed to me that you got a bunch of reaction to the live album doing that. I don't know if it was because it brought together a lot of songs from a number of albums or just the fact that people got a chance to hear.
Yeah, that's a pretty good live record, too, which it kind of ran up against one of my pet peeves is that a lot of radio won't play live albums, and a lot of critics won't review them. A lot of press won't touch them. And I don't understand that. In the 70s, live was what we wanted. That's what music was about. And, most of my favorite records were live, Waiting for Columbus.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
One of the best records ever made. For some reason, that's become second class. And I don't get it because, to me, a live record is a lot more of an accomplishment than a studio record. Because pretty much anybody can hire a producer and go in a studio and make a decent sounding record. It's a lot harder, to go out and do it live. You got to work with the same band for a while, kind of work your sound up.
Speaking of that, working with the same band for a while, when you started playing as a three-piece, which has been a while now, was that an emphasis for you to work on your guitar playing? Because it's just so spectacular. And I was thinking with a three-piece, you have to fill things out a bit.
Yeah, well, my application has sort of been restricted by economics. And I did a solo thing for a long time because I couldn't afford a band. And then I got where I could make expenses for the four of us in a van, going around the country. Any more than that, you need a bus. So I can't make the leap to, I'd like to have keyboards. That'd be cool, but I can't put it on two axles. So.
Mm-hmm. But what about your guitar playing? It's always been.
It's always kind of. I've just had to learn to get the job done.
Right.
I was not a very good electric guitar player when I started out. And then the budget shrank. I didn't have tour support anymore after the first couple of records. And so it got where if I wanted electric guitar played on my records or on the road, I'd have to do it myself. So it's just on-the-job training, really.
If people look back at James' albums, it's always that message to play it loud. So
yeah. Well, the reason being, they tended to mix my records. And before I got control of it, a lot of times my records were mixed way too vocal heavy. And even now, some of it's that way. But what happens if you don't turn it up loud, the vocal will just bury the track because it lives in the mid-range. The mid-range punches out more at low volume.
One of the other things on Childish Things and a lot of your writing, there you got a lot of fictional or real relatives in your songs, whether it's Aunt Clara or it's this grandparent or that grandparent. Did you used to have big family gatherings when you were a kid?
No, very rarely. Yeah, there were some big family reunions. My paternal grandmother's people used to get together, hundreds of them. But I was not at very many of those. I don't really know where those songs come from. It's just Choctaw Bingo was really an exercise because for years it seemed like every tour either started or ended on Highway 69 in northeast Oklahoma. In fact, this one does. This one, we came out that way and we're going back that way, making a big loop. We never play in Oklahoma, but we have to drive up and down this road, and there was a lot of weird stuff along it. There was Choctaw Bingo, and there was the Pop Knife and Gun shop, and there was a lingerie store in southeast Kansas, which had these pink neon Rolling Stones lips for a sign out front. And the first time we saw them was at like 2 in the morning. It was the only thing lit up downtown. And I had to wake the drummer up and say, hey, is that real? So we couldn't believe it. But most of that stuff is gone now since I wrote the song. But it was sort of an exercise to see how much of that stuff I could get in one song.
Right.
And really to sort of jumpstart my writing for the St. Mary of the Woods record.
What did your grandparents do?
My paternal grandparents, my granddad was a rancher, and on the other side, my maternal grandfather was in the Army Air Corps during World War II, and He got discharged in Florence, South Carolina, and the county picked him up for a health officer. They gave him a, he was the head of the health department down there for a long time.
Did it seem unusual for your dad to become a writer out of that?
Oh, yeah, thoroughly. Yeah, it was a complete anomaly. Not just being a writer, but being a reader.
Right, right.
And he always had a book in his hand, and that was unusual down there. You know, they read the almanacs and whatever they need, but there wasn't a lot of people that read for pleasure.
Well, you've talked about moving back, when you moved back to Austin, moving into your dad's place that had 10,000 books. Now I understand if you want to move in with your dad, you got to move into a whole town full of books, right?
Yeah, well, he fled. He's gone to Tucson now, The books are still there.
Well, no, where is that place?
Archer City, which is up near Wichita Falls, Texas. And he opened a bookstore there because the real estate was so cheap. In the 80s, the economy down there just cratered for a while there. It was getting where you can't get the floor space in a major city to really have a big bookstore. So he just started buying up those little buildings around the square and stuffing them full of books. And he did a great trade there until 9/11, when the book collectors quit traveling so much. So now it's dwindled down pretty good.
Is he doing it on the internet or does he?
A little bit of that, but he has one employee, and if you show up, there's her cell number's on the door, and you can call her and she'll open whichever building you want.
Wow. James McMurtry is our guest. Can you do that song with Aunt Clara in it? Childish Things.
Do that.
Aunt Clara kept her Bible right next to the phone in case she needed a quote when she talked to someone. In my memory, she smiles while the blessing is said, and visions of freeze tag dance in my head. She says, I'll grow up big if I eat all my roast. I'll still believe in heaven, but I won't believe in ghosts anymore. I'll put away childish things. I'll put away childish things. And every other weekend, age of 13, with my fishing pole and my field and stream, riding back home on the trailways bus, I looked out the window till I saw too much. And I called my parents by their own first names. I played in, but I didn't play the game anymore. I put away childish things. I put away childish things. The wolves howl all night long. They won't stop and they won't go home. Beneath my childish things. I put away childish things.
Childish Things from actually the title track of James McMurtry's new album. James and the Band are playing live for us today on the Cafe. I want to talk a little bit about Stephen King because he's been a huge supporter of the live album and certainly of this new one. How did he come to your music? Do you know?
The story I heard was that he heard the live version of Leveland on satellite radio.
Ah.
And he owns a big old classic rock station in Bangor, Maine, WKIT. And they started playing. He brought the live record in, and they spun Choctaw Bingo in all its 8.5-minute glory. And it became the most requested song on KIT in 2004. Then he got onto the download of We Can't Make It Here, and he put that one out. And that just that tore the phones off up there because Maine has lost something like 30,000 jobs to outsourcing, which is, you know, a lot of what the song complains about.
All those mill towns, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have you been up there? Have you played a gig?
Yeah, that's our biggest market right now. Yeah, we can sell out a 500-seat theater there 2 or 3 nights in a row.
That's fantastic.
Except last year we overdid it. We played about 5 times there last year, and they said, "Yeah, you guys might not want to come back for a while."
Have you met up with him yet?
Yeah, he introduced us at a couple of those shows at the Grand Auditorium in Ellsworth, Maine.
James McMurtry is our guest, and I mentioned a song you said that most people don't ask for, which I absolutely love, is Pocatello.
Pocatello, yeah.
Now, where'd you get this truck driver character?
Truck driver character. It was really a band character.
Oh, yeah.
But that started... Usually the way I write a song, I get a couple of lines and a melody, and if it keeps nagging at me, it keeps resurfacing, then eventually I will finish the song. And I'm trying to remember what the seed for this one was. I was asking about a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while. I was at McCabe's in Santa Monica, and I said, "Yeah, whatever happened to her?" And I said, "Oh, she's... you know, she's living with that guy that used to manage such and such a band," which I don't have a very broad scope of what I listen to, so I'd never heard of this band. So I had this line that, you know, some guy that used to manage some band I never heard of is trying to manage you. And I guess that was the seed for the whole song.
And that's funny, that line snaps out at you when you hear it, too. Yeah. So it was a keeper. Can you do Pocatello?
Sure.
At some truck stop parking lot, out beside that burning Volvo, where the smoking engine shot. You just left that Volvo lying, you never gave it half a thought. Faithless, fine and gone. You said you came from Randolph, up across the Wasatch Range. You kept talking clear to Salt Lake, like the drove us all insane. But now I'm flying down that four-lane highway, screaming out your name. Faithless, fine and gone. Batten down the hatches, I can hear my grandma say, get through, number down to smoldering embers, But I guess I can make do. Now here's some guy used to manage some band I never heard of is trying to manage you. Faithless fighting gone. Batten down the hatches. I can hear my grandma say, boy, you like to play with matches. Gonna burn yourself someday. Boy, you like to play with matches. Gonna burn yourself someday.
Pocatello finishing up our session today with James McMurtry and the band. Give names to everybody who's playing today.
We have Ronnie Johnson on the bass and Darren Hess on the drums and Tim Holt on guitar and myself on guitar as well.
Excellent. James, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank you.
And keep at it. James McMurtry, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.